Blog Talk Radio.
Guys, for joining us here on The Right Way, here with me and my co-host Austin.
How's it going, everybody? Glad to have you all back, and excited for a great show today, Malik.
So am I. So, we had an interesting divisional round in the playoffs, and some head coaching news around the league. Let's get started with the divisional round. Austin, I'll just take it away.
All right, so we had, of course, four games this week. The one and the two seed advancing in all those games, so a little bit of flip of last week where you had the fives and six seeds going all the way for all four teams. This week, on the other hand, we had all the favorites win, which means we're going to be having Patriots, Broncos, and Cardinals, Panthers both won two matches. But in the divisional round, first game was this past Saturday, the afternoon game, and it was Patriots defeating the Chiefs at home 27-20. Tom Brady had a great game. Rob Gronkowski had an excellent hitch-and-go touchdown pass in the middle of the game. And overall, it was a good full performance for the Patriots and a convincing win, even though the scoreboard doesn't really show it. So, Malik, the Patriots are the two seed going into this week's AFC Championship game, but after this game against the Chiefs, because remember they had the first round bye, do you think that the Patriots are a real contender this year, or do you think that the Broncos' number one seed does mean something and that they have an edge over the Patriots?
Well, anytime the Patriots make it this far, anytime Tom Brady is at the helm and the hoodie is on the sideline, they're a contender, and that is the case this year. The Patriots have made it, to their 10th AFC title game. I obviously think that they're a contender. I obviously think that they can definitely beat the Broncos. However, that's not my pick. But, I do think that they're a contender. I do think that it's going to be a stiff challenge for the Denver Broncos, and I think it's going to come down to which defense can create that one stop or that one turnover.
Yeah, I can't agree with you more. Just looking at the stats from that game, the eye-popping thing for sure would be that New England did not run the ball at all in that game. Granted, it was a close game throughout, but Steven Jackson had six carries and Edelman threw in the carry. That was it. 27 yards on the ground between those two players. Tom Brady threw the ball 42 times. I mean, in comparison, Alex Smith threw the ball 50 times, but him and Charkandrick West also ran the ball 26 times and covered just over 100 yards on the ground there. So as much as the Patriots, and I'm sure Patriots fans are comfortable right now, they've been here before. You know, Edelman and Gronkowski had 17 catches between the two of them, both of them looking good, both of them looking healthy, which is important. But again, I'm a big believer in the running game. And if you cannot run the ball and you cannot establish a run on the road against a really good Denver Broncos defense that defends the pass just as well as the run, and you become a one-dimensional team, all of a sudden, you know, a defense can pick you apart. And I agree with you, Malik. I think one turnover, if Tom Brady gets hit, or one or two interceptions, all of a sudden the Patriots have nothing to fall back on. And even if they get a lead and they can't run the ball, then they can't really establish anything. Then they can't even keep a lead going, and the game will be a tough one for them. But
agreed.
So the next game we had was Arizona at Green Bay, and I think it's safe to say that that was the most exciting game of the week. Larry Fitzgerald,
well,
looking back, but go ahead, Malik.
Before we get started, I'm gonna let you continue. I have to publicly apologize right here on the right way. I have to publicly apologize to Aaron Rodgers. As many of you may or may not remember, on my first ever The Right Way, I said that I believe that Aaron Rodgers was slightly overrated. However, I don't think he's in the same class as Tom Brady, but I have to apologize because the guy proved to me right then and there why he made a believer out of so many people, why he is the replacement to Brett Favre in Green Bay. He made me see in that game alone why some people call him the best quarterback in the NFL today. So I want to publicly apologize to Aaron Rodgers, publicly apologize to the Green Bay Packers, and say, Aaron Rodgers, you made a believer out of me, and I'm now a fan.
Well, Aaron Rodgers definitely had a good game. He not really completion-wise, though. He went 24 for 44 with 261 yards, two touchdowns. But, of course, the play of the game until, of course, the big overtime play by Larry Fitzgerald was the Hail Mary at the end of the game, and lightning strikes twice for the Green Bay Packers this year. But ultimately, and again, we said it with the Patriots too, I think the running game for the Green Bay Packers is what's holding them back. Granted, and we've talked about this on the show many times, Malik, that without Jordy Nelson, they are a different team, and they did not have Randall Cobb for all of that game either, and they don't really have an established tight end. But at the end of the day, you have two good running backs. In fact, Eddie Lacy could be a very good running back. And the reports showed they were surfacing this past week with Mike McCarthy publicly saying that Eddie Lacy needs to lose weight if he wants to keep his spot. And, of course, he lost the starting job to James Starks this year. So before we head off to the Cardinals and their predictions for the championship game, do you think that with Eddie Lacy at a better playing weight, Jordy Nelson fully healthy along with Randall Cobb, do you think that the Packers are a legitimate contender next year?
Super Bowl contender without a shadow of a doubt. You know, they have one of the best quarterbacks in football. And with definitely a deep threat in Jordy Nelson, somebody could stretch the field. That's what Aaron Rodgers are really missing this year. And if Eddie Lacy can be that first-round pick that, you know, that the Green Bay Packers drafted, I think he'd benefit from it. And I think the Packers would benefit from it. I think that I do think Eddie Lacy's holding this offense back a little bit from reaching its full potential. And you know, him being an Alabama guy, you know, me being an Alabama Crimson Tide fan, you know, I want to see this guy get himself together, and I want to see this guy be able to contribute to the Green Bay Packers like I know he can.
So, excellent points across the board. I agree. I think they just need a tight end. I think they need someone that Aaron Rodgers can trust, because Randall Cobb was not that guy this year. I think a lot of fantasy experts throughout this year were saying when Jordy Nelson went down, you know, the Packers had time to prepare their offensive strategy. And I think overall, you know, Randall Cobb is a slot receiver, and he benefits from having someone on the other side of the field that can stretch a team vertically and open up seams for him. And when you lose one guy like that, as seen with other teams this season, like the New England Patriots, when they're down receivers, anything is possible. But we go to the
Absolutely.
Arizona Cardinals now. Carson Palmer, we're talking about Aaron Rodgers now. He had a good day. But the truth is Carson Palmer not only outplayed him, but he outplayed him by a lot. He goes 25 for 41, 350 yards, three touchdowns. And, of course, the big man on campus this week is Larry Fitzgerald. 8 receptions, 176 yards. And, of course, that shovel pass at the end for the overtime touchdown, which followed a great 75-yard catch at the start of overtime. So, Malik, we're going to talk about the Panthers in a minute, but what are your takes from Arizona? Do you think that this overtime win was good for them, or you think that there should be some concerns in that locker room after blowing a lead like that and giving up a Hail Mary when they need to be clutch at their finest?
Well, it should definitely be a huge call for concern. Reason being is because, now you said Carson Palmer outplayed Aaron Rodgers. That is true. However, we also have to take into account that Aaron Rodgers has, you know, doesn't have as many weapons as Carson Palmer has to work with. You know, you may say that Carson Palmer, you know, outplayed Aaron Rodgers, but one can make the argument. In fact, I don't really think it is an argument. One can say that, you know, Carson Palmer is the reason why Green Bay was, you know, allowed to come back into the game. You know, I believe Carson Palmer did throw 2 interceptions in that game, correct? You know, and
I'll double check that for you now.
I believe the guy threw two interceptions in the game. And it is cause for concern. It is very cause for concern because for a team with that much talent on it, offensively and defensively, you know, I told you a while back, you know, when Tyrann Mathieu went down, that this wouldn't be the end of the Arizona Cardinals. That I believe that they'd be able to come up out of the slumps, but this is going to be, you know, it's going to come down to who's going to play better. Carson Palmer, also people got to realize Carson Palmer is also playing with a fractured finger. And, you know, that's also affecting, you know, his release on the ball.
Good point.
And, you know, I do think it's going to come down to which quarterback plays the best. And I don't think Carson Palmer is. I think Carson Palmer is going to hold this team back.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up because you can. I see your argument, but Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. 2 things to keep in mind. One, he threw an interception himself, but you know that's whatever. But Eddie Lacy, you know, with the exception of his 61-yard run, he only had 28 yards on 11 carries the rest of the day. That's you know just over 2 yards a game. That's not good enough.
Yeah.
And James Starks had only 23 yards in that game, and Rodgers had 21 on his own. But Arizona didn't run the ball well either. In fact, they only had 37 yards on the ground on 19 carries. So, you know, in some ways, yes, I understand that Carson Palmer did make some mistakes that game, and he did allow Green Bay to get back in the game. But I think you can make the argument that even if, you know, you have a couple of wide receivers that can play with Brown and Floyd there along with Larry Fitzgerald. You know, Larry Fitzgerald is not even though he had a great game, he is not the youngest guy in the world anymore. He only has a couple years left, in my opinion. And overall, I think Carson Palmer's not working with the best resources either. And that being said, while Aaron Rodgers may not have as good a wide receivers as Palmer, I think he still played well in this game, Carson, that is. And with having virtually no run game, when your running backs are average, David Johnson, who's supposed to be all of a sudden this breakout running back, is averaging just over 2 yards a carry. That can't help anyone either. And Andre Ellington didn't step up either in that game. So I think Arizona should definitely be concerned after this game, not because their defense blew it at the end of the game, but more importantly because I think their offense is lacking right now. And when you look at Carolina Panthers' offense and how they put up 31 points right away, in the first half of that game, I think it's a cause for concern for Cardinals fans.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
So in that case, now we're going to go to the Sunday games. And this was definitely one of the most peculiar games that we've seen this season, mainly because both teams were playing a little bit unlike themselves, I would say, because the Carolina Panthers, as you know, they go up with a 31-point halftime lead and then don't score any points in the second half. Seattle was 1 or 2 plays away from tying that ball game, an onside kick and a couple strands of luck, and all of a sudden that could have been a tied game. So we'll go into the stats in a minute, but Malik, what were your initial takeaways from that Sunday 1 o'clock game between the Panthers and the Seahawks?
Whoa. You know, Carolina's hot. There's no way to go around it, no way to, you know, go under, you know, over, you know, say what you will about them. Say Cam Newton dances too much. Say, you know, their schedule was weak, which it was. You know, say all these things, but when it comes down to it, this team is hot. Cam Newton's hot. They're ready. They're playing ball. And the one thing I love about the Carolina Panthers, it's not so much to me that they're a better football team than the Seattle Seahawks, because I don't think they are. If you look at Cam Newton, if you actually sit and watch a Carolina Panthers game, the guy looks like he's out there having the time of his life. He's out there having fun. He's loose.
Absolutely.
His guys are loose. They're having fun. they're dancing, they're dabbing. And, you know, it's, you know, it just seems, it's refreshing to see an NFL quarterback, an NFL football team go out there and throw the ball around, have fun like they're playing some backyard football with their friends. Because this is what it seems like. It seems like genuinely this team enjoys playing together. And I'm sorry to say, people, you may not like it or not, this is what makes great football teams. Not everybody could be a New England Patriots football team. Not everybody could be strict by the book. You know, it's good. It's good when you're able to go out there and just be loose and have fun and do what you love. So kudos to Carolina Panthers. Those are my initial takeaways from the game. I believe that Cam Newton is playing loose, thus making his players play loose. Because when the leader of the football team is, you know, is fired up and loose on the sideline, you know, it makes your job a whole lot easier.
Couldn't agree with you more, especially with the leaders. And I think we're, you know, all the focus is on Cam Newton this week. Great game, 16 for 22, 161 yards. Definitely took it easy in the second half, and maybe Panthers fans might be a little concerned about that. But if I'm a Panthers fan, I am not concerned at all. I think it's difficult for an NFL team to be up 31 points in the half and to still keep the pressure going. I understand it's a playoff game, but at the end of the day, yeah, you gotta feel for the team a little bit and understand that it's difficult because this was something they were not expecting. And, you know, I personally had the Seahawks upsetting in this game. And, this is not what you see out of the Seahawks. The Seahawks, Russell Wilson doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't throw interceptions in his own inside his own 15. I mean, it's just not Russell Wilson, and that's not how he plays. But, you know, two things from that game. Russell Wilson had to throw the ball way too much in that game. Yes, he was behind for most of it, but 48 times is a lot. And two interceptions, you can't make those mistakes in the playoffs. Cam Newton didn't have an interception. He played the game properly. He had a couple runs.
Well,
he got sacked a couple times, but he didn't make any mistakes. Go ahead.
Well, I also will say, Austin, and, you know, some people may or may not agree with me, I kind of think beast mode coming back in the lineup, I think it kind of messed up the chemistry with the Seattle Seahawks.
I agree.
Personally, I think they wanted to rely on him, and they wanted to go back to the old school, you know, a few years back where they could just hand the ball off to him. And, you know, it just showed. It showed that they, that you can't, you know, you can't just keep, you know, feeding the guys, especially guys came back off of being, you know, guys haven't played football since November. You know, you kept handing the ball. I'm all for it. I understand he's a great running back, but I think he might have messed up the rotation and what kind of what, you know, they had going on. So it hurt them definitely in more ways than helped them.
I completely agree. I think there was Marshawn Lynch had no reason to be in that game. But the only reason that I think you could say, and it's not football related at all, is I don't think he's going to be on the Seattle Seahawks next year. I highly doubt that. But I think he wanted to come back and make a statement going into free agency that or contract negotiations that, hey, I could still play. And at the end of the day, it's pretty clear Marshawn did not have a good day. And he struggled throughout, 6 carries, 20 yards. But when he would get the ball at the line of scrimmage, I mean, it just looked like he was dancing. He didn't look like Marshawn Lynch. And maybe that injury is going to hold him back. Maybe he just came back too soon. But I just don't think that kind of running back fits the Seattle offense anymore. When they have those receivers going with Curse Baldwin and Lockett and Wilson, the tight end, they don't even have Graham for this game, mind you. And they were getting the ball to all these targets. They need a speed running back to open up the pass game and to show play action. Marshawn Lynch being a power running back doesn't fit that system anymore. And I think you're going to see Pete Carroll definitely switch and look for the young running backs that could just do their job, not fumble and play the game smart. And on the flip side of that, Jonathan Stewart, what a day for him. 100 yards, 2 touchdowns with a 60-yard run. ESPN is reporting that Cardinals Pro Bowl defensive tackle Campbell has said that stopping the Panthers this week is actually not going to be the Cardinals' focus will not be on Cam Newton, but Jonathan Stewart. And if they allow him to run the ball and create plays for the Panthers and set up the pass game, that's going to be the real threat. So, Malik, do you think that the X factor in this game is Cam Newton, or do you really think it's someone like Jonathan Stewart who can open up this Cardinals defense and not have to and force the Panthers to not even have to go against what most people would say is the Arizona Cardinals' strength, and that is their secondary?
I'm sorry, that is a ridiculous statement. You just disrespected, in what I believe, you know, many people's eyes, and what I believe is the NFL MVP. Your game plan should be on Cam Newton. He's a dual threat quarterback. He can beat you with his arm and his leg. You focus on stopping Jonathan Stewart. You got to worry about Cam Newton hitting that play action and taking the ball, running it for 40 yards. So you better focus on Cam Newton. That was a completely that's a false statement, and I don't believe that that's their game plan going into the game. Absolutely, their game plan is to stop Cam Newton.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting. You don't really know if Campbell's trying to play some mind games out there. You know, he's a Pro Bowl D tackle. He knows what he's talking about. Maybe to put some pressure on Stewart. Stewart may have, you know, feel like he has to perform at this high again. But remember, you know, they're not going to be handing the ball off to him 20 times next week. They're not going to have a 31-point lead where they have to run the clock out, and Tolbert's not going to be getting 7 carries in the game either. So. I agree. I think it's a little unlikely that Jonathan Stewart is the real threat in this game. Cam Newton is definitely the threat, but Jonathan Stewart could definitely be an X factor. I think you can't deny that. He definitely has the potential to open up a defense, and
no,
if he's
absolutely
healthy, he could definitely. So
absolutely.
Now we go to
absolutely.
Go ahead.
No, I'm saying absolutely, but one game doesn't decide. You know, doesn't change things. I mean, you still got to worry about Cam Newton. What the guy had, how many touchdowns overall this season? 48, 49?
Around there.
We can't just switch our focus to one guy after a season. So, yeah.
All right. So, final game in the divisional round was the Steelers at Denver, another close game, one touchdown separated the game. In fact, all four games this week, all separated by 7 points, and even Arizona's game, I mean, technically ending in overtime, but assuming they would have made the extra point if they had to, it would have been 4 7-point games. So looking at Denver and Pittsburgh, just your classic AFC North game from the Steelers, but for the Broncos, a little bit concerning, going against the sixth seed without Antonio Brown, without Le'Veon Bell, yet still not looking like a high-powered offense. And, of course, they have to go against New England, which is a high-powered offense this week. A couple big takeaways from the Broncos game. One, they ran the ball 31 times. Peyton Manning threw the ball 37 times, so a very balanced attack, whereas Roethlisberger threw the ball 37 times, and they only ran the ball 19 times for the Steelers. But definitely a big story coming out of this game is Martavis Bryant, 154 yards in the loss, but definitely looking like a star with Antonio Brown out. So, Malik, first, before we get to the Broncos, obviously you're not a fan of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Obviously you don't like them. You are not rooting for them after their win against Cincinnati. But as a fan of the AFC North as a whole, are you excited what you see from the Steelers? Are you excited to see Bengals-Steelers matchups next year? Or do you think that Ben Roethlisberger is getting a little too old, he's getting a little too nicked up, and with Antonio Brown out now, it shows that they're not really the strongest offense without their two playmaking running back and wide receiver dynamic duo?
I never look forward to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I never look forward to playing them. I don't like them. I don't like seeing them on the field, but I'm not going to underestimate Big Ben. You know, he's a tough guy, a tough quarterback. If you want a franchise quarterback and you want him to be, you look for toughness, you know, look at Ben Roethlisberger. You know, that's the kind of guy you want to pattern. You want your franchise quarterback to pattern. And, it's AFC North football is always going to be AFC North football. But as to looking forward to the game, no, I'm not looking forward to the game. I think I'll look forward to the game if it actually be a football game and not a brawl, so to speak.
Interesting. So looking now at the future for the Broncos, listen, do you think, you know, the New England Patriots are only a 3-point favorite, according to Las Vegas, this week. But
even though they are on the road playing at Denver, and it obviously will be a little bit worse conditions than the game against the Steelers. But do you think that this personally, and feel free to disagree, I don't think it's going to be that close of a game. I think the Patriots are going to go into Denver, and I think they're going to win this game fairly easily, because right now I don't think the Broncos are that much of a threat on offense. If New England's defense can keep it up and just play decent, they don't have to be spectacular. They don't need takeaways. They just have to play smart and you know, have a strong game plan against Peyton Manning. I see the Patriots winning by two touchdowns, maybe more, unless Peyton Manning can show that he could throw the ball, you know, strong and throw the ball downfield and utilize his targets like Demaryius Thomas, like Emmanuel Sanders.
So I'm sorry, I didn't get your question.
My question is, do you think that this Patriots-Broncos game is going to be close, like Vegas says, that the Patriots are only a 3-point favorite on the road, or do you think, or do you agree with me or disagree that when I say that I believe the Patriots are going to win by at least two touchdowns in this game?
I disagree. I think the Broncos are going to win this game, and it's going to shock a lot of people. I just think that the Denver Broncos defense can stop the Patriots offense, and I believe that the Patriots defense can stop the Denver Broncos offense, but, you know, I mean, Peyton Manning, I will admit, he did look pretty impressive last week. He didn't look like a guy that was done, so to speak. But, you know, like I said, I'm going for Denver in this game. I think that defense is real chippy. I mean, it's obviously not going to be easy. Got to account for Edelman. You got to account for Robert Gronkowski. But I believe that Denver has, you know, the right pieces to match up with the Patriots. And I don't think that the Patriots have the pieces on offense to exploit the Denver Broncos defense. I mean, Denver's got it all, from pass rush to run stopping to pass coverage. You know, their guys on the back end, you know, they're legit. They're legit, and I think they're going to shock a lot of people, but I think they're going to get it done. So that's my pick for the game.
I will say in defense of Peyton Manning, you're right. He did have a pretty good game, but he also had one of the worst catching displays of any wide receiver core that I've seen since Brandon LaFell dropped, I think, like 4 or 5 in the Patriots game earlier this year. I cannot tell you how many drops were in that Broncos game. They were not helping Manning out at all.
It was about eight drops.
Yeah. So, I mean, how can you expect – I mean, the guy is 39 years old. He's not getting any younger, but at least help him out and catch the ball. He's not throwing it a million miles per hour like Cam Newton. I mean, so just catch the ball and help him out. And you're right, maybe the Broncos will pull this out. But I think no matter what happens, just looking at the injury reports, both teams looking pretty healthy. Julian Edelman's looking healthy. Amendola's good. Gronkowski's good. And the New England defense is good. And Peyton's looking fine. Chris Harris Jr. May play for the Broncos. He's still listed as questionable, but everyone else is looking good to go. So hopefully, win or loss for the Patriots or Broncos, AFC Championship game is going to look to be a good one, and will definitely be just as nice as the anticipated Cardinals and Panthers games.
Hold on right now. I think we got a caller calling in right now, so let me jump to this. Thank you for calling in to The Right Way with Austin and Malik. Who am I speaking with?
Maurice,
how you doing, man?
I'm good.
Hey, We were just talking a little bit, you know, the division, about the divisional playoffs. So what did you think about the divisional playoffs this week?
Honestly, I'm already looking forward to – I think it's going to be the Patriots versus Carolina. Why? Because, in my opinion, I think that New England is really getting trash talk because it seems like they're the underdog. They're going in there. The underdog, basically, nobody think they can pull it out against the Broncos, which, in my opinion, they could. I think they're going against Carolina.
Wow. I mean, I can understand why. I could definitely understand why those are your picks. But like I said, I got a little bit different pick. I see Carolina versus Denver.
I see Carolina versus Denver
because this is Peyton Manning's. This is Peyton Manning's last hurrah. This is his last opportunity to shop, you know, to get you know. This is his last opportunity to get it done in my eyes. And I think that this defense is going to step up to the occasion. I told Austin, I said, you know, I feel like Denver's defense has the pieces to match up with the Patriots' offense, but the Patriots' defense doesn't have enough pieces to match up with Denver's offense. So, I think it's going to come down to, you know, like we said, it's going to come down to who makes the, you know, who can create that turnover, that one turnover from defense. And I see it as a very close game, but I see Denver's defense making one more play, a play more than the Patriots' defense to seal the deal, thus sending the Denver Broncos to a Super Bowl.
The reason why I say I see the New England coming out to win that game, it's not going to be a blowout game. It's probably going to be like a touchdown game. The reason why I say that, because you got to look at how much stuff is thrown at New England this year, and such as the way they lost, what, the last two games, and then all the talk about Brady, this and that. Brady will pull it out. Don't get me wrong. Peyton Manning, I would not be surprised if he did it. I just have to go with Brady on this one. I'm not a fan of Brady, but I think he can do it. And on the NFC, I got Carolina because the way Cam Newton is playing right now, he just upset a Seahawks game. He's playing his best ball in career.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely is, you know. And as we were saying earlier,
but the test, even though Seattle beat Blue Cardinals out, I think it's going to be a good game. That's going to be another good game. That's going to be, I'm going to say, it's going to come down to the last point of the game, last touchdown. Whoever scored that last touchdown must win the game, because it's going to be a decent game.
Agreed. So let me ask you this. So that's your pick for that game. Let me ask you for the NFC. You know, you kind of gave your prediction already in a sense, but how do you see the NFC divisional round champions, you know, NFC championship going? And also, feel free to chime in at any point.
You said, how do I see it going?
See the NFC, you know, NFC championship going. I'd love to hear your feedback on that.
Okay. I think the reason why I think Carolina going to win, because Cam Newton, like I said, Cam Newton is playing his best ball this year. That's first of all. And if you could say, there's no one to really contain him, because you don't know what he's going to do. He can pass the ball. He can actually run. Now, on the other side, they're facing an angry Arizona team, which they're another team. But if I'm not mistaken, who's the quarterback? Carson Palmer. Yeah. If he come out striking, it's going to be a good game. But if the defense of Carolina gets to Carson Palmer the way they need to, the game could be over in about the first half. Which only, like, the Cardinals defense plays sorry against the Seattle Seahawks. But if they could come back, bounce back, we watch teams bounce back all year to come back from a ridiculous loss to make it to win. I just got Carolina to win. It would be fantastic to watch Cam Newton versus Tom Brady in the Super Bowl.
I agree. I agree with both picks. I think it's going to be a Patriots Panthers Super Bowl. But you know, you're talking a lot about Cam Newton. But from my perspective, I really think it comes down to the defense for the Panthers. And I mean, as just a fan of football in general, got to say, this is a very exciting defense to watch. They got a bunch of Pro Bowlers out there with Davis and Kuechly at linebacker and Norman at cornerback. And I really think that Arizona just doesn't have the weapons to beat those guys. You know, everyone's saying Larry Fitzgerald, but Josh Norman can guard Larry Fitzgerald, and if Larry Fitzgerald plays in the slot, you have two linebackers that can guard him as well. So I don't. I mean, I understand that Carson Palmer's been playing well, but yeah, go ahead.
Okay, let me tell you why. I say Larry Fitzgerald. The last game he picked up against, who was that they played last? The Green Bay Packers. They played them well. If we notice, Larry Fitzgerald was getting the ball. But I agree with your point. He can be guarded. But we don't know. He can be the breakthrough player to come in and go against Josh Norman. Josh Norman, one of the best cornerbacks in the game. But saying Larry Fitzgerald, he's going to try to get his. He's trying to do exactly what Norman's trying to do, and that's break his team to the Super Bowl. So it's going to be a hard-fought game, but I think it's going to be a good game. I think Larry Fitzgerald going to get his, but I have to go with Carolina. Because Cam Newton, I love the defense. I love what they did this year. And he actually showed people he's not only just a running quarterback.
Absolutely. All right. So, Malik. So, Maurice, do you have any more questions for us? Do you see anything going on with the AFC Championship game? Okay, I believe we lost Maurice, but we're going to continue on as Malik tries to get back with us right now. But Oh, sorry, Malik, go ahead.
No, it's no problem. We lost Maurice here, but we got another caller calling in at this point.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you for calling us the right way with Austin and Malik. Who am I speaking with?
Bobby DeMarco.
Hey, Bobby. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing very good. You know, just talking a little football.
Very good. Yeah, that's what I like to talk.
So, you know, what question you got for us? You know, we're talking a little football. We answer any questions here on the right way regarding any team, whether it's, you know, playoff teams, whether it's your team. I'd be happy to hear it.
You know, one question I want to ask you guys is I want to know who you think is, out of these four quarterbacks, because these are four good quarterbacks playing this weekend, I want to know which quarterback you guys think is most suitable to win this Super Bowl.
I mean, let me be the first to answer that. Omaha. And when I say Omaha, I'm talking about Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning, the guy has been here, or he's been so close to it. You know, he's won one Super Bowl. His brother Eli has two. If he could just tie his brother, if he could just, you know, get tied with his brother and he had a Super Bowl. I mean, I honestly think he's most suited for it. I mean, he's the one quarterback. I believe he's the greatest regular season quarterback of all time. I think he's the one quarterback that I look at that and I say, wow, this guy should have way more rings than he has. You know, I'm hoping that this is his year, you know. But this is the first year we could actually look at it where Peyton Manning's gotten this close and we're like, you know, it's not going to rely on Peyton Manning this year. Peyton Manning.
No.
He's going to have to rely on his weapons around him. Peyton Manning is going to need his entire football team to play better around him. And I think that's what it comes to, what it's going to come down to. What do Chris Harrison, Aqib Talib call themselves, I believe, no-fly zone? Well, no-fly zone is going to have to come to play. No-fly zone is going to have to make sure that nobody is actually flying anywhere, you know, in their radius, anywhere. They have to make sure that they shut down one of the best quarterbacks of all time, Tom Brady. And mind you, that's no easy task, especially when you got Rob Gronkowski and Julian Edelman coming back. I mean, Julian Edelman got 16. He didn't catch them all, but he was targeted 16 times last week. So if you don't think Julian Edelman is healthy, think again. Julian Edelman's coming to play. And with Chris Harris Jr. playing with the bum shoulder, they're going to need that entire football team to step up. Von Miller, you don't need to go missing in the pass rush. You don't need to go missing. DeMarcus Ware, I know you got back issues, but this is why you're here in Denver. I need you to sack the quarterback and get the job done. And that needs to, that's what Gary Kubiak, that's what his message needs to be to his football team. Big players need to play big in big spots. And this, they don't get any bigger than this. It's the AFC Championship. If you win this game, you're going to the biggest stage of them all. You're going to the Super Bowl. And, you know, in the words of Donald Trump, this game is going to be huge.
No, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So, I mean, also, what do you think?
You know, well, you know, it depends because, first of all, I disagree with Peyton Manning. I do agree that he is one of the best regular season quarterbacks to ever play the game. But I think in terms of playoffs and who do you want in the playoffs, you can't deny that Tom Brady is the best playoff quarterback that we've ever seen, definitely in our lifetime. And he's who I would want in the playoffs because he knows how to game plan. You never doubt him with anything. If there's a pass rush, he's going to get the ball out quicker. He's not going to make any bad decisions. And, you know, Cam Newton's done that this year. He's played well. He's run the ball well, but he can also throw the ball, and he's hitting his receivers. But this is only one season. He's grown as a player, but it's not guaranteed. So to maybe base your franchise around a guy, sure, I think Cam Newton is great in the future, and I think he's going to be a great quarterback for years to come, especially when Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, they start retiring as they get older into their 40s. But right now in this Super Bowl, I think Tom Brady is the quarterback I would want to be coaching, the quarterback that I would want on my team because he's clutch and he knows what he's doing.
Well, with all due respect, Austin, and Bobby, feel free to chime in at any point. He said, which quarterback is most suited to win this game? I'm sorry, this guy Tom Brady has 4 Super Bowl rings, and 2 of them are debatable. 2 of them are really debatable, should he even have them. You know, this guy, so you're saying he deserves a 5th Super Bowl ring? No, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that Tom Brady deserves another Super Bowl ring. I'm going with the guy Peyton Manning. Whether people like it or not, this is it for Peyton Manning. Whether that means he comes back and plays next year, or whether that means he rides off into the sunset because Father Time is calling his name, this is it for Peyton Manning. He's never going to be in this spot again. So if I want a guy to do it, I want Peyton Manning to do it. There's no quarterback more deserving than Peyton Manning. The guy was in Indianapolis for most of his career, got a Super Bowl with them, and this is it for him. Tom Brady could probably play for another 4 more seasons, 3 more seasons. You know, he's still playing his best football right now. Peyton Manning is not. He's on a decline. So I would love to see a guy defy the odds, and I'd love to see a guy take his Denver Broncos football team to the Super Bowl and win and get it done. So Peyton Manning, I'm all in for you. With a few Omahas, you can get there, man. And you got my vote. I believe Peyton Manning can get it done. I really do, and I believe he's going to get it done.
I would really like to see him win this Super Bowl. You know, he's a classy guy, and he's one of the smartest guys to ever play the game. You know, that game last week against the Steelers, just watching him, I mean, nothing was down the field. It was hard to get guys open, and to watch him work at the line is something else. And you know, I think what's going to make this game great is both him and Brady's ability to do that. But at that spot, I think Peyton's got him on that one. I think Peyton's smarter than he is.
Absolutely. You know,
Don't get me wrong. I root for Peyton Manning every single day over Tom Brady. I mean, I'm a Jets fan. I can't really like Tom Brady. But with that being said, in terms of who's more deserving this year, Peyton Manning has had the top defense this year. He's been injured half the time. Brock Osweiler had this team for a little bit. I mean, they still had a decent running game. They have a bunch of good wide receivers. They have a good wide receiving core. And, of course, again, that defense is great. I mean, and they have their special teams is great. Meanwhile, Tom Brady's taking a team that is always injured, never has a run game. Their defense is always mediocre, but he outplays teams and he outsmarts teams every single week. So, yeah, does he really need a 5th Super Bowl? No, but
to say that he hasn't outworked Peyton Manning and outplayed Peyton Manning this year would be an understatement. In that regard, I would have to say he deserves to win it.
So I'll put it to you this way, Bobby and Austin. I'll put it to you this way. Let's look at it from this point of view. You just said Peyton Manning, you know, basically didn't have a good season this year. He didn't do his thing. He didn't, you know, he didn't perform to the ability that we used to see Peyton Manning perform to. That's because he's older now. Now, take into account all the years that he brought his football team to this spot. There's no argument. It's undebatable. He brought his team there on the strength of his arm. So for the years, you know, year in and year out for the, you know, keeping his team in consistent, you know, contention for a Super Bowl was, you know, solely based on the arm of Peyton Manning. Could this be, I guess, you know, the football guys were paying Peyton Manning? He doesn't really have to do as much this year because for so many years he's had to do it himself. So I don't fault the guy. It's nice to see a guy be able to have a team after all his career being able to do it by himself. It's nice to see a guy, you know, basically not have to carry a football team and he gets help. I mean, you guys agree with me?
Absolutely. Go ahead, Austin.
Oh, you know, I agree that he deserves this. He deserves this opportunity, and he shouldn't have to carry the team, you know, one final time. He should be able to just coast, and everyone should play a good game. But listen, you just said, you know, Peyton Manning's old. He's getting up to this maybe his final turn. He's only a year older than Tom Brady. Meanwhile, we're talking like Tom Brady is still in his prime sometimes. You watch him and you would not know if this was 2008 Tom Brady or 2016 Tom Brady.
I'll put it to you this way. Austin, hold on one second. I'll put it to you this way. Tom Brady has had good offensive lines throughout his career. Okay? Tom Brady's had good offensive lines throughout his career. Peyton Manning, on the other hand, has not. He's taken more beatings than Tom Brady. He's been sacked more than Tom Brady. And I'm sorry to say this, and I hope you Colts fans are listening right now. I have a funny feeling that when I look at Andrew Luck, I see Peyton Manning. I see a guy having to carry the team just like Peyton Manning had to carry the team. I see a guy that Peyton Manning should have a lot more Super Bowl rings to talk about than he does. And what I see with the Indianapolis Colts now is the same thing I saw with Peyton Manning. The lack of weapons around him. The lack of an actual football team around him. And, you know, when you see that, for you young fans who didn't get the opportunity to see Peyton Manning in Indianapolis, if you want to see an image of how it looked, look at Andrew Luck. The guy had a lacerated kidney this year because he took beatings because he has no offensive line, because he has really no weapons surrounding him. And what I mean by weapons, I'm not just talking offensively. I'm talking about defensively as well, because the defense is a weapon for the offense, just like vice versa. You know, Peyton Manning throughout his career had to fight through all this adversity in Indianapolis. And now the guy goes to Denver and, you know, he actually has a team there. So, you know, when I look at it, you know, it's nice to see him be able to coast. You know, when I look at Peyton Manning, I just don't feel like there's anyone more deserving than him. The guy's given it his all. He's given it his all. Even when people didn't think he was going to come back from the neck surgery, he came back. But it's catching up to him now. But it would be nice to see him go out on top, because if you ask me, the guy deserves it. He's a hell of a quarterback and a hell of a human being.
I mean, I would absolutely love to see him win the Super Bowl, go out on top, retire into the sunset. You know, he deserves it. He definitely does. And I honestly think that this game is going to be the bigger game, this week's game. I think the AFC Championship is going to be the biggest game, not the Super Bowl, because you know, you're going against the Patriots team that is almost unbeatable in the playoffs. I mean, look at Bill Belichick's record in the playoffs. He's 22-9. And, you know, the whole Brady-Manning matchup and everything like that, it can get to your head sometimes. But I think, you know, if Peyton can come through in this game and, you know, outsmart the Patriots defense and just plays his game, you know, I think they'll definitely win the Super Bowl. I think the AFC is the better division. I really do. I just don't think Carolina is mature enough to win it. And I think Arizona just lacks the willpower to do it. You know, they're going thin on the defensive side, and that's going to affect them in the long run.
I agree 100%. You know, I'll tell you this much. This is the end of an era. You know, this is the last time we're probably going to get, you know, we'll be blessed enough to see this matchup with Tom Brady against Peyton Manning. So, you know, I'll definitely be looking forward to it because it's definitely going to be a chess match. Bobby, I want to thank you for calling into The Right Way here with Austin and Malik. You know, we can't thank you enough. Thanks for being a supporter, and we look forward to hearing from you soon, man.
Thank you, Bobby. All right, sounds good. Have a nice night, guys.
You too. Bye.
You too.
Got another caller calling in right now at this point.
Okay.
Thank you for calling in to The Right Way. Thank you for calling in to The Right Way with Austin and Malik. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, what's up? It's Max.
How you doing, Max? We're basically just taking questions right now, not just regarding the NFL playoffs. You know, this week, we've been answering a lot of questions regarding the playoffs. We're also talking about, you know, just teams in general. And, you know, if you want to know something about a team, about your team, if you think do you want us to answer if they're headed in the right direction or what we think, our opinion, I'd gladly, you know, answer those questions for you. So have that.
Cool. So, next season, where do you see, if in the league, where do you see Johnny Manziel?
Austin, you can answer this.
I see him backing up somewhere. I don't know. I could see him maybe in Dallas looking, you know, backing up Tony Romo. I know he has connections in Texas, obviously. You know, Jerry Jones likes any kind of fireworks show that he can get. I really don't see any other teams that would want Johnny Manziel as a starter. There's a couple of rookies coming through the draft. None of them are seen as guys that can immediately go and start, like a Marcus Mariota, like a Jameis Winston. But I think it's safe to say that he won't be starting anywhere next year. He has enough off-the-field problems. And on the field, he's a mediocre quarterback at best that can run the ball once in a while. I mean, Malik, feel free to disagree with me, but I don't see much out of Johnny Manziel. I wouldn't be surprised if he's out of football in the next couple of years.
I mean, I can't agree more. I think next year I see him with the Dallas Cowboys, backing up Tony Romo. However, I do not agree with the notion that we've seen what all there is to see of Johnny Manziel. I personally believe Johnny Manziel, this was all a setup, a part of his plan to get out of Cleveland. I think that he didn't want to be there from the get-go. I think this is not a place that he saw himself, envisioned himself being. So I definitely see him, he got his way again. And it may not be what everybody was expecting, but, you know, like I said, without a shadow of a doubt, I see him backing up Tony Romo. And I don't think that we've seen everything that Johnny Manziel could do. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. What else questions you got for us, Max?
Well, with Cal quarterback Jared Goff, do you see him contributing to a team in a positive light, or do you see him being a backup for a couple of years?
I see him possibly. I think I could see him. I think he contributes to a team, but I think it's all best for, you know, guys. Unless you obviously see, like, you know, you get Andrew Luck or someone that, you know, steps into the role, or Jameis Winston right away and be. Take the helm. I think it's best for quarterbacks coming out the draft to, take a few years to, you know, learn an offense or sit behind a veteran, sort of like how the Jets are doing with Bryce Petty?
I think Goff has the size. He's tall. He can throw the ball. Definitely has a strong arm, but he is coming out of college early. Honestly, I don't see any quarterbacks coming out of this draft and being a starting quarterback next year. I think this year, more than in years past, that a lot more teams aren't in need of a quarterback. They want a quarterback, but they don't need them. The Jets come to mind. The future of the New York Giants come to mind. But overall, no team that needs a quarterback today. And I think with examples of Johnny Manziel, Robert Griffin III, and other quarterbacks, that I think it's best for teams, and it's in their best interest, especially if they want to develop a franchise quarterback, that you have to let them wait a year or two and let them develop. And, for example, with the New York Jets, we see Bryce Petty coming into the game right now, and we see him potentially being a backup next year. But you can't any of these guys coming out of college, especially if they're coming out early and they're coming out at 20 years old, 21 years old, to be able to lead an NFL franchise, especially a team that is most likely struggling.
I agree 100%. Any more questions for us, Max?
Big question from Malik. Next season, with the Bengals hopefully, you know, revamping their offense, do you see them getting a good number two receiver or at least a good solid slot receiver?
No. The pieces are in place in Cincinnati. They just got a wild win now. Mohamed Sanu, slot receiver, very versatile threat, could throw the ball also, wildcat quarterback. And Marvin Jones is our true number two receiver. He proved it this year, having his best season to date. These guys are definitely going to be sought after in free agency. But I believe the Bengals are doing a great job, and they're going to continue to do a great job of retaining the players and keeping them going. It's funny that you asked that question. Question I got asked recently, Max, and, you could possibly answer this, also can answer this. A lot of people were emailing me, asking me, do I think that Andy Dalton's going to take a step back now that Hugh Jackson is the head coach of, the Cleveland Browns, do you think Andy Dalton's ceiling is going to keep rising? So that's the question I present to you guys.
Well, I mean, Hugh Jackson did a great job with him. Pretty much made him, blossomed him and made him, more confident in his throwing and his ability. With losing him, I mean, I don't think it might take a knock a little bit, but it just depends on who's gonna be there for him. But I mean, he made a step forward in the right direction. So, with that confidence being built in him, sometimes it stays with you, and sometimes when you lose an offensive coordinator like him, then it might bring you back a little bit, but. It's all about him and where he wants to go, what direction he wants to go in. I mean, he needs to pretty much settle up this season. This has to be his do-or-die year, to be honest with you.
I think play-calling-wise, the Bengals will definitely take a step back, at least in the beginning of the year, because you got to be able to adjust to a new offense coordinator and what plays they want to run. But in terms of the actual offense clicking, I don't see much of a step back, mainly because you got two running backs that trust your quarterback, and in Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard. You have your star wide receiver coming back, AJ Green, hopefully injury free, and then you have a tight end, Tyler Eifert. So I agree. I think you need another wide receiver in that Bengals offense, but you have enough veterans on that team that can at least secure a nice framework, and then from there. The Bengals just have to work on their defense a little bit and their offensive line, and they'll be good to go.
Max, I want to thank you for calling into the right way. Thanks for being a supporter, as always, man. Look forward to hearing from you soon.
Most definitely. Have a good one.
You too.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're running out of time here on the right way, but I want you guys. I want you guys to reach out to me, Austin. You can reach us on. You can reach me on my Facebook at Malik Wright. You can email me at therealmalikwright@gmail.com. Austin.
We got, well, first off, you can email me, austin.mayo@gmail.com. And also, our social media pages have been going off the last couple of weeks. We're really excited about that. We have our Facebook page. Just look up The Right Way with Austin Mayo and Malik Wright. It should be one of the first ones that pop up. And the profile pictures back sports page. And then also, this week, Malik, we have our own Twitter account now, and we'll be posting some questions during the week as well, trying to get your feedback. And hopefully we'll be doing some sort of like a question and answer thing on Twitter and definitely trying to contact some athletes, maybe get a response or two from them as well. So we got a lot of plans in the future, but definitely want to see you guys like those pages, follow those pages, and hopefully give us some great feedback.
And next week, please join us here on The Right Way, here on Blog Talk Radio, produced by Backsports Page. You know, next week is going to be a very big show, as I have one of my friends, Michael, coming on, and we're going to be discussing, I know it's a bit early, but we're going to be talking, we're going to break down the draft, who goes where and why, and we're going to talk about what changes, what changes have been made to certain organizations and what are going to be the repercussions behind it. It should be very, very exciting. But please join us here next week, Thursday, 8 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio to discuss the breakdown of the draft and much, much, much more. Austin, any last closing comments?
Well, I'm in D.C. this week, so if you're in the area or up along the Northeast, stay safe and enjoy the snow. Enjoy Snowstorm Jonas and have a great time outside.
You guys take care. Thank you for joining us here on The Right Way. It's just on the storm. Bye.